Hi there, and welcome to Swiss Info's program for November the 16th. I'm Veronica DeVore in Bern. Mark Twain once said, "Truth is stranger than fiction, but it is because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't." Today, we'll look at both truths in the week's news from Switzerland and fiction from some of the country's best young writers. Which is stranger? That's for you to decide.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Some may find it strange that anyone would pay tens of millions of dollars for a rock, but that's exactly what happened in Geneva this week when the 76-carat Archduke Joseph diamond was auctioned off for $21.5 million. It fetched a world record price for a colorless diamond. The 76.02-carat stone, with perfect composition and internally flawless clarity, came from the ancient Golconda mines in India. Named after Archduke Joseph August of Austria, the great-grandson of both a Holy Roman Emperor and a French king, the diamond passed to his son, Archduke Joseph Francis, who put it in a bank vault, then to an anonymous buyer who kept it safe during the Second World War. From there, it surfaced at a London auction in 1961, then at a Geneva auction in 1993, when Christie's sold it for $6.5 million. This week's winning bidder, who wished to remain anonymous, is going to donate the diamond for display at a museum. A good deal of money was also behind the trial of three Swiss League football players who were accused of fraud for their involvement in an international match-fixing and illegal betting ring. They were acquitted this week in a federal court in Bellinzona on the grounds that fraud is the deception of a person and not of electronic bookmakers or gambling machines. The judge ruled that while the alleged match-fixing on the football field would indeed involve deception of spectators, fans, and clubs, that was not the subject of the current trial. He ruled that two of the players, who are still active and had denied taking part in the manipulations, should be compensated, one with 16,500 Swiss francs and the other with 26,000 Swiss francs. French tax authorities are also after money due to them and aren't above breaking Swiss law to get it, according to recent reports in Swiss papers. Tax investigators from France have been visiting Switzerland without authorization to investigate French citizens suspected of dodging taxes, the Federal Prosecutor's Office has confirmed. But it also admits there is insufficient proof to stop such actions. The French tax officials reportedly travel to Switzerland with a friend or family member when they are supposed to be officially on holiday. They use private credit cards for all purchases in Switzerland, and to avoid being caught by Swiss customs or radars, the officials purportedly use cars with interchangeable number plates or take a train. Once in Switzerland, they travel around to make sure Swiss-based companies allegedly belonging to French citizens actually have real offices, employees, and clients. While tax officials were secretly crossing from France into Switzerland, the writing of a crop of young Swiss authors has become one of Switzerland's most successful exports to France. A new young Swiss literature is hitting the shelves of Parisian bookshops, supported on the one hand by persistent publishing houses like Zoé in Geneva and L'Âge d'Homme in Lausanne, and on the other by the appeal of greener pastures that makes these novelists' work seem exotic and foreign. One of those young novelists is Joël Dicker, who grew up in Geneva. The 27-year-old's first novel, La Vérité sur l'affaire Harry Kébert, or The Truth About the Harry Kébert Affair, recently won the renowned Académie Française Award for Best Novel. And it has been nominated for the Prix Goncourt, France's highest literary honor. Swiss Info's Susan Fogel-Masika reports.
Dicker's story takes place in 2008 in the U.S., when the country was about to elect Barack Obama as its first African-American president. A young author named Marcus Goldman has just released his second book, which immediately becomes a bestseller. The young Goldman has a mentor, the famous author Harry Kébert, on whose property the police dig up the remains of a 15-year-old girl named Nola, who disappeared over 30 years ago. Next to her lies the manuscript of Kébert's first novel. After Kébert is arrested for Nola's murder, his protégé, the young Goldman, starts seeking the truth. Although Dicker himself grew up in Switzerland, his book is set in the U.S. He explained to Swiss radio why he decided it should take place there and why that choice proved especially difficult to convey as he wanted to in the book.
I knew
what I wanted to do and what I wanted to say.
But it was very difficult to accomplish because I had to ask myself, how do I write a novel in French that takes place in the US with characters who are American? At the beginning, I thought about it from the perspective of French people who were going to America with a vision of America according to Europeans, but I decided I didn't want that. I wanted the story to really take place there, to feel grounded there, and the only way to do that was to picture myself a bit as an American.
Dicker's writing style is not unlike his novel's winding paths to success. First, he takes the plot in one direction, only to throw in a twist that forces the reader to reconsider everything he's read. It's a style that readers seem to enjoy, since The Harry Caber Affair has already sold more than 60,000 copies in French. Dicker says he doesn't take his newfound success for granted and is enjoying every day of it.
You know, when you write a book, there are 650 books released every 2 months. And how many people would like to have the opportunity to talk about their book like this? It's an incredible opportunity, really incredible. And every day, I'm really grateful and happy to be experiencing it.
That was Susan Fogel-Masika reporting. France is a natural destination for Swiss literature because many Swiss writers grow up speaking and writing in French. But what about translating Swiss books for wider markets, such as the English-speaking world? Suzanne Bauknecht, director of licenses and foreign rights for Swiss publisher Diagoness, told Swiss Info that the books that succeed in English markets are those whose plots are able to reach a wider audience. Those books tend to be bestsellers in the Swiss market as well, Bauknecht says.
It must be a book that can travel. That means that in other languages or in other cultures, it's understood, it can be read, it needs to be able to be translated and understood. The high literary fiction is sometimes very difficult.
Although her publishing company works to get as many Swiss books into international markets as possible, Bauknecht admits that breaking into the English-speaking world as a Swiss author can be a major challenge.
One of the reasons is because the English speaking world is so big and there are so many authors that are writing directly in English. So you find all kinds of books already in English and you don't have to really look for translation to have a diversity, a range of books.
A young Swiss writer who writes in English, 19-year-old Stefan Bachmann, has seen literary success abroad, having just completed a book tour across the U.S. for his first work, a young adult novel called The Peculiar. The book has been reviewed positively in many major American newspapers, including the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times, and its rights have been sold in 10 countries and 6 languages so far. Bachmann told me a bit about the book's unique plot in an interview this week.
The book is a kind of a steampunk fairy fantasy folklore. I mean, it has not like Disney fairies, but like historical fairies, I guess, the creepy type. It's set in 19th century England with magic and steampunk kind of technology versus magic. And it's a children's fantasy, but I think it's fairly complex and dark. So I've heard some good things from adults, too.
Although he was born in the U.S. state of Colorado, Bachmann moved to Switzerland at the age of 1 and has been living near Zurich ever since, where he was homeschooled and now attends a music conservatory where he is studying to become a film composer. Bachmann told me that his path to getting published was a remarkably straight one.
I started writing in earnest when I was 12, and I just wrote a lot until I turned 19. I guess I wrote about 4 books and lots of short stories. So I just practiced a lot, and at some point I just thought it would be really cool to be published, so I looked into that and I researched it and I found an agent and the agent sent out the book to publishers and the publishers bought it. So the actual process of getting published was fairly straightforward. My parents encouraged me a lot and my mom still reads everything I write and marks it up with a red pen.
At the age of 12, Bachmann began copying some of his favorite stories as he practiced writing his own fiction, especially J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series. However, he told me that although his writing includes fantastical elements inspired by the books he likes to read, it remains grounded in reality.
I really like Lord of the Rings and I like Tolkien's writing style, even though my writing is not really like that. Like, I don't write about, you know, high fantasy and dragons and stuff. I do really like the idea of real life mixed with fantastical elements. I think that's really cool because it's kind of relatable and not at the same time.
There are many aspiring authors out there, both young and old, who would love to have the chance to be published, but the first step is getting that novel down on paper. Every November, hundreds of thousands of people around the world participate in National Novel Writing Month, or NaNoWriMo as it's called for short. The project's tagline is 30 Nights of Literary Abandon, because over the course of November's 30 days and nights, every participant is supposed to write at least 50,000 words of a novel. Although NaNoWriMo was started by a San Francisco-based freelance writer in 1999, its web-based interface, including word-tracking programs, writer support forums, and chat rooms, have helped it to spread around the world. Switzerland also has a growing crop of writers trying their hand at the challenge, including 18-year-old Alenka Graf from the German-speaking part of the country. This is her second year attempting NaNoWriMo.
I finished school in summer, and I'm doing a gap year right now. Next year I'm going to university, and I first heard of NaNoWriMo in summer a year ago on another website. A girl mentioned it, and I was like, it's totally crazy, and I'll never make it. And I still signed up last November while practicing for a musical, doing schoolwork and all, and I finished 50K in 15 days, and so I said, okay, next year I'll do it again if I have a plot, and I'm really happy that I had a plot in November again.
NaNoWriMo participants often organize meetings, both in person and in chat rooms, to build a support network and bounce ideas off each other as they slog through their novels. Graf says she has attended several of these events in Switzerland with varying degrees of success.
Last year I went to a Bern write-in because I knew there were a lot of people coming, but this year I don't have the time to travel, but I was at a Lucerne write-in on Sunday. Usually write-ins for me are not good to write because I talk too much to the people, but what is really supporting me is the chat room we have. I'm there the whole day, and so I can really focus on writing in the chat room.
This November, Graf is working on a novel set 200 years in the future, after much of the world was destroyed by an atomic bomb. As a result, people are trying to escape from the grasps of technology and war by basing society on politeness and kindness, but many find it difficult. Graf says she's gotten positive responses from people when she describes her plot idea, so trying to get published may lie in her future. NaNoWriMo also often yields humorous results, as was the case when Bavarian comedian Flula Borg tried to complete all 50,000 words on the final day of November last year. He succeeded, barely, and is selling the resulting and admittedly nonsensical novel, The Travelings of Rindle Dindle the Magic Dance Pony, on his website. He also recorded the final minute of his efforts on YouTube as he typed and dictated furiously.
Come now, kitten cat, say Bonnie, we must go and dance, dance. Cat, yes, you may live with me and we shall be happy. 50,000 words!
And with that, we've reached the end of our program for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica DeVore.
Unless the book I write, I let it go so long. And now the book I write.